Well, I promise I'm not really trying to step on toes this morning.
Which, I'm here.
I see that. You're trembling in your seat. Title of my sermon this morning is God's Amazing Love. Amen?
Amen.
See, love is one of the most powerful forces in the world. It moves hearts, it shapes destinies, and it motivates people to do extraordinary things. People search for it, they long for it, and they often make it the cornerstone of their lives. We desire love that accepts us fully without conditions. A love that will endure through trials and triumphs alike. Yet despite the deep connections we experience in human relationships, there is no love on earth that can compare to the infinite, unshakable love of God. Amen?
Amen.
In John chapter 3, verse 16, we find these profound words. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
This verse is more than just a well-known scripture. It is the very heartbeat of the gospel. It encapsulates the very essence of God's love for us. Love that is sacrificial, boundless, and transformative. We often call it the gospel in a nutshell. But I wonder, how often do we truly stop and let the weight of this word or this verse sink in? Because we hear it so frequently, there's a risk that it becomes familiar and even routine. So today, I invite you to pause with me for a moment. Let's reflect on the magnitude of God's love, the depths of its meaning, and why it is so incredible. Most importantly, let us explore how this love should shape our lives. First, we must understand that God's love is beyond human understanding. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 19 tell us this. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, God's love is not just an emotion or a feeling. God's love, it is vast, it is immeasurable, and it is beyond our human comprehension. It's higher than the heavens, it is deeper than the oceans, it is wider than the universe, and it is longer than eternity. Amen? Unlike human love, which is often conditional, fleeting, or self-seeking, God's love is perfect. His love is unchanging, and it is unconditional. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 tell us this, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, hallelujah. See, God's love is not based on what we do. It is based on who He is. Amen? He loved us before we even ever loved Him. What an incredible thought. He loved us when we were lost, broken, and unworthy. And Romans chapter 5, verse 8 reminds us, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you feel the weight of that verse this morning? God's love is the foundation of the gospel. The entire message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a love story. God's relentless pursuit of a sinful world. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, God could have abandoned humanity. He could have said, I'm done. But instead, he set in motion a plan of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
And this plan culminated in the most extravagant act of love ever demonstrated. The giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Jesus declared in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And church, that is exactly what Jesus did on that cross. God's love is amazing because it rescues us from his wrath. When we talk about God's love, we must also talk about his justice. Amen?
Amen.
Alistair Begg is quoted saying, without the wrath of God, God's love is meaningless. See, God is perfectly holy and he is perfectly righteous. And because God is holy, he cannot ignore sin, evil, or rebellion. God's wrath is his righteous anger against all that destroys, corrupts, and defies his perfect will. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 tells us this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Church, we weren't just neutral people looking for love. We are rebels under judgment from the very day that we were born. And God's justice requires and demands punishment for our sins, and that punishment is death. Amen?
Amen.
And what is death? What is true death? Death is eternal separation from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah!
Amen.
So here is the staggering beauty of the gospel. The very God who has every right, he has every right, church, to pour out his wrath on us. Instead, he chose to pour out his wrath on his own Son. At the cross, love and wrath, they met. God's justice was satisfied and his mercy was unleashed. Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. It wasn't the nails that held Jesus to that cross. It was his love for you and for me. It wasn't the Roman soldiers who ultimately judged him. It was his own Father allowing his own Son to bear the punishment that we deserve. And this is why God's love is so amazing. It's not a love that simply saves us from sadness or loneliness, but from the holy wrath of God itself. And John chapter 3, verse 36 makes this very clear. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Church, without Christ as Lord and Savior, you are standing with the wrath of God upon your life. Before we profess Christ as Savior, we were under wrath, but now in Christ we are under grace. We were dead, but now we are alive. We were condemned, but now we are beloved children. When you see what you have been truly rescued from, you begin to understand just how deep, how costly, and how precious God's love truly is. So this morning, as we examine John chapter 3, verse 16, I want you to see just how amazing God's love truly is. Today, we're going to look at the source of God's love. Where does this love come from? We're going to look at the so. How deep and intense is God's love? We're going to look at the Savior, the one who was given as the ultimate expression of God's love. We're going to look at its scope. Who is this love available to? And we're going to look at its success. We're going to see what this love has accomplished. And so this morning, as we go through each of these points, my prayer is that you will see God's love in a new and deeper way, so that you not only know it, but you also experience it in your daily life. So the first thing we're going to look at is God's love is amazing in its source. For God so loved the world. Everything in John chapter 3, verse 16 begins with God. The source of this amazing love is not humanity. It is not our good works, and it is not even our desire to be loved. It originates from God Himself. Amen? His love is not dependent on external factors. It is an essential part of His divine nature. God is the source because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 declares this, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." This verse doesn't just say that God has love. This verse says that God is love. And love is not just one of His many attributes. It is the very essence of who He is. His perfect love is eternal and unchanging. Unlike our human love, which can fade, fail, or be conditional, God's love is constant and unshakable. Psalm 136, 26 affirms this. "Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever." His love does not waver based on circumstances, nor does it depend on our own worthiness. Even when we fail, His love remains steadfast. Amen? God's love is uncaused and unmerited. And Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 emphasizes this truth. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And if that doesn't get you excited, church, I don't know what will. God's love is not a response to something good in us. He loved us while we were still sinners, while we were broken, rebellious, and unworthy. And unlike human love, which is often based on attraction, performance, or reciprocation, God's love is freely given, unearned, and undeserved. God's love is eternal and unchanging. And Jeremiah 31:3 gives us this beautiful assurance. "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" Church, God has no beginning and it has no end. It is not fickle like human emotions. It is everlasting. Before you were even born, He loved you. From eternity past to eternity future, His love will remain unchanged. Imagine a loving father watching his child struggle to walk. The child stumbles, it falls, and it cries, but the father does not stop loving that child. Instead, he picks that child up and encourages him and helps him to walk again. And this is how God loves us. Even when we fall, he does not turn away. His love lifts us, it restores us, and it carries us forward. No matter what you have done or where you have been, God's love for you remains constant. Because his love is not based on your performance, but it is based on his nature. God's love is so amazing in it so. For God so loved the world. Church, that little word so is easy to overlook. But it carries such an incredible weight. The word so is not simply a filler word. It is a declaration of the depth, the intensity, and the greatness of God's love. Amen?
Amen.
God does not merely love, he so loves. This simple yet profound word emphasizes the immeasurable nature of his love. Human love has its limits, but God's love is limitless. It's boundless and it is beyond our comprehension. Paul describes this love in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth and height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Church, I want you to think about those words, width, length, depth, and height. Paul is trying to tell us that God's love is too vast to be measured. It is too great to be fully grasped, and it is too deep to ever run dry. The width of God's love extends to every nation, every people, and to every sinner. The length of God's love stretches from eternity past to eternity future. The depth of God's love reaches the lowest sinner and the most brokenhearted. Oh, hallelujah. The height of God's love lifts us to eternal glory in heaven. No matter how far you have fallen, how lost you feel, or how undeserving you think you are, God's love is greater still. Amen? Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Church, we often try to understand God's love through human experience. But his love far exceeds any earthly comprehension. His love is not just deep, it is infinite. It's not just strong, it is unbreakable. A child may stretch out their arms and say, "I love you this much." But how did God express his love? He sent his son to the cross where he stretched out his arms and said, "I love you this much." He became the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Jesus was on that cross. He was showing us the true measure of God's love. His love was not just spoken, it was demonstrated through sacrifice, suffering, and ultimate redemption. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 declares, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." See, Jesus didn't simply say that he loved us. He showed us and proved it by giving up his life for us. And that is how deep the Father's love is for us. Because God's love is so great, we must live in the confidence of it. When trials come, remember that God's love is deeper than any hardship. When you feel unworthy, remember that God's love is greater than your failures. When you feel abandoned, Remember that God's love never leaves you. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord. If there were ever two verses to highlight in your Bible, those are two of them. When you wonder if God still cares about you, remember the cross. It is the eternal proof of His unshakable love. The word "so" in John 3:16 is more than just an emphasis. It is an invitation to dive deeper into God's overwhelming, limitless, and eternal love. The question isn't, does God love me? The question is, will I fully receive and trust in His love? God's love is amazing in its source, in its Savior, that He gave His only begotten Son. God's love is not just a warm feeling or an abstract idea. It is demonstrated through action. Love always gives, and God proved His love by giving the greatest gift imaginable, His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many people say they love, but true love is always demonstrated through sacrifice. God didn't just speak about His love, He showed it in the most profound way possible. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 declares, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God didn't hold back. He gave His most precious beloved Son to redeem us. Oh, hallelujah. If He was willing to sacrifice Jesus for us, we can be sure that His love is real. Amen. We can be sure that His love is complete and without hesitation. Jesus wasn't an angel or a created being. He was God in the flesh, the eternal Son, given for us. He willingly left the glories of heaven. He stepped into a sinful world. He endured the pain, the suffering, the rejection, and death, all because of love. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 describes the depth of His humanity. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Jesus chose the cross, not because He deserved it, but because we did. His love led Him to trade heaven's throne for a rugged cross, a crown of glory for a crown of thorns, and the worship of angels for the mockery of men. Isaiah 53, 5 paints a vivid picture of what Jesus endured. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Wounded for our transgression. Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. Bruised for our iniquities, He bore the weight of our sin. Chastised for our peace, He suffered to restore our relationship with God. By His stripes we are healed. His suffering brought about our redemption. God's love is not cheap, It cost him everything. Imagine a courtroom where a young man is on trial for a terrible crime. The judge, looking down from his bench, sees that the guilty man is his own son. Justice demands that the penalty must be paid, and the judge pronounces the sentence. And then something astonishing happens. The judge steps down from his bench. He removes his robe, and then he takes the punishment himself. He fulfills the law while also demonstrating his deep love. And that is exactly what God did through Christ for us. God is the judge, and we are the guilty ones. Yet instead of letting us bear the punishment, he took his place on the cross. When you're tempted to question God's love, always remember what happened on the cross. Because the cross is not just a historical event, it is God's eternal declaration of love. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 reminds us, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." See, Jesus, he didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. He didn't wait for us to get our acts together or to even deserve his love. He loved us first. And he proved it by giving his son. Because God's love is so amazing in its Savior, we must respond. Again, if you ever wonder whether God loves you, look at the cross. If you ever feel unworthy, remember that Jesus died for you while you were still a sinner. If you ever doubt your value, remember that the price paid for you was the blood of Christ. God has already given his best for you. But the question is, will you receive it? God's love is amazing in its scope, that whoever believes in him should not perish. The word "whoever" in John 3:16 is one of the most powerful words in Scripture. It tells us that God's love is for everyone and not just a select few. I am sorry, my Calvinist brothers and sisters. His invitation to salvation is open to all, regardless of background, past mistakes, or social status. Unlike human love, which is often conditional and selective, God, his love knows no boundaries. It's not reserved for the righteous, the privileged, or those who seem deserving. It is for whoever believes in his Son as Lord and Savior. And Romans chapter 10, verse 13 emphasizes this truth. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not might be saved, but shall be saved. Whoever means anyone, rich or poor, young or old, educated or uneducated. Whoever means any background, no matter what you have done, God's grace is greater still. Whoever means no exclusions, no sin is too dark and no failure is too deep. God's love, it does not discriminate. The only requirement is faith in our Lord Jesus. Some people believe they are too far gone for God's love. They feel that their past is too sinful, their mistakes are too great, and their hearts are too broken. But the Bible is full of people who were once lost and yet were transformed by God's amazing love. The thief on the cross, he was a criminal. Moments from his death, and yet Jesus welcomed him into paradise that day. The Apostle Paul, once a persecutor of the early church and the Christians. Yet God turned him into the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. The prodigal son, who wasted everything in rebellion but was received with open arms by his father. If God's love can reach them, it can reach you. There is no sin too great, no distance too far. His love extends to all who will receive it. This morning, if I held up a $100 bill and then I crumpled it and I put it on the ground and I stomped on it, would it still be worth $100? Yes, because the value hasn't changed despite the dirt and the damage. In the same way, no matter how broken, stained, or trampled on your life has been, you are still priceless in God's eyes. Amen? The world may see worthlessness, but hallelujah, God sees worth. The enemy may whisper, you are too far gone, but God declares that you are mine. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12 gives us a glimpse of how far God's love extends. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So hallelujah. God's love is higher than the heavens. There's no limit to it. God's mercy is greater than our failures because he removes our sins completely. No one is too broken, too sinful, or too lost for God's love to reach them. Because God's love is so vast in its scope, you must reject the enemy's lies that tell you that you are unworthy. Don't believe the lie that says your past disqualifies you. Jesus went to the cross and died knowing your past. Don't let shame keep you away because his great love is greater than your guilt. Do not assume that you have to clean yourself up first because Jesus invites you to come just as you are. The invitation is open to whoever believes, and that means each and every one of us. The greatest tragedy would be to hear whoever and to think that it does not apply to you. God's love is wide enough, deep enough, and strong enough to embrace you right now. God's love is amazing in its success, but have everlasting life. The love of God saves, amen? It's not just a temporary comfort, a fleeting emotion, or a hopeful wish. It is powerful, effective, and victorious. The success of God's love is that it fully accomplishes what he intended. Our salvation and eternal fellowship with him were accomplished at that cross. Church, when God sets out to do something, he finishes it. He does not attempt to save. He saves completely. And Isaiah 55:11 affirms this truth. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The goal of God's love is not to just make salvation possible, but it was to make salvation certain for all who believe. Jesus didn't come merely to offer salvation. He came to secure it, and secure it he did. His mission was not left unfinished, and his mission wasn't dependent on human effort. The moment that Jesus died on that cross, he declared, "It is finished." And these three words are the victory cry of God's love. Oh, hallelujah. On that day, the work of salvation was completed, sealed, and secured. There's nothing left for us to earn, nothing to add, because Jesus did it all. Many think that eternal life is something that starts after death. But the Bible teaches that eternal life begins the moment that we believe. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Those words, has everlasting life. It is a present possession and not a future promise. Shall not come into judgment. Our salvation is secure and we will not face condemnation. Has passed from death to life. This is not a gradual process, but an immediate transformation. If you are in Christ, you already have eternal life. Amen? If you are in Christ, you already have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
It's not something you're waiting for. It's something that you are living in right now. Imagine a man drowning in deep waters. He is helpless. He cannot swim. He cannot save himself. And his strength is failing. Suddenly, a rescuer jumps in and pulls this man to safety. The drowning man contributed nothing to his rescue. He didn't help the rescuer. He simply allowed himself to be saved. And this is exactly what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. We were drowning in sin, unable to save ourselves, but then he stepped in and did what we could never do. He didn't just throw a lifeline, he jumped in. He didn't just offer help, he completed the rescue. He didn't just give us a chance, he secured our salvation. Since God's love is successful in securing our salvation, we should live in the confidence of it. Do you live in the joy of knowing that you are already saved? Then stop coming into the church looking like you've been baptized in vinegar and are sucking on lemon Sunday morning. Do you rest in the security of God's unshakable love? Do you understand that eternal life is not just about the future, but about living in victory today? So live in victory today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10 reminds us, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God's love never fails. If you believed in Jesus, your salvation is not fragile, conditional, or uncertain. It is secured forever. The success of God's love is seen in our salvation, in our security, and our eternal future. The cross wasn't an attempt, it was an accomplishment. Jesus finished the work. Eternal life is yours now, and his love will never fail you. Are you living in the fullness of his victory today? See, John 3:16 is more than a verse that we memorize. It is the greatest love story ever told. It's God's love letter to humanity, written in the blood of Christ, sealed with his victory over death, and delivered to your heart today. Imagine standing at the foot of the cross, looking up at Jesus as he breathes his final words, "It is finished." At that moment, his mission was complete. The love that began in the heart of God, that reached down through time, that wrapped himself in human flesh, had now secured salvation for all who would believe. This love is not a distant concept. It is personal, powerful, and present in your life right now. So how will you respond? Will you believe? Because God's love is so amazing, so deep, so sacrificial, so boundless, so victorious, he did not send his son to condemn us, but to save us. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And if you stop at John 3:16, you have stopped too soon. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Jesus didn't come to point an accusing finger, but to stretch out his hands and rescue. He came because without him, we are already condemned. We were already drowning in sin, already under God's wrath. And church, this is why it's so important to tell the world. This is why it's so important that the moment you step outside these doors, that you boldly proclaim the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why that if you have people in your family who aren't saved, they are condemned, they are under God's wrath, and if you don't say something, they will die and go to hell for all eternity. The mission that we were given is one that we cannot fail in. Jesus told us to go out into all the world to make disciples of men and to teach everything that he taught us. Yes, God's love is so amazing, but a dying world without hope doesn't know. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. It is time for us to be intentional, to be aware of the signs and the time, and see that today could be the day that Jesus comes back, and then we won't have another moment to share the hope that we have.